Baptist Church of Blairs, Virginia. Now, here's Elder Parker.
Good evening, friends. We welcome you to the Primitive Baptist Gospel Hour tonight. Count it a wonderful blessing to bring the everlasting gospel unto you. I'm Elder Dan Parker, pastor of the Afton Road Primitive Baptist Church in Danville, Virginia. Thank the Lord for His wonderful mercy and His kindness that He has bestowed upon His people. Because of His love and His goodness, we can all say who love God, the Lord has been so good to me. And we hope that you will take your Bibles and follow along with us in the Word of God tonight as we preach the gospel. We invite you to come and be with us at the Afton Road Church in Danville. The meeting house is in North Danville. If you call me or write me, I'd be happy to give you the instructions how to get to the meeting house. We meet every Sunday morning. Our singing begins at 10:30 and then preaching at 11 o'clock. You'd find a warm welcome at the Afton Road Primitive Baptist Church. I want to offer you these two booklets that I have written. The first one is called The Primitive Faith. The Primitive Faith is subjects, and they're short. It's not lengthy. It's subjects out of the scriptures that are found in God's Word, like original sin, total depravity, the supremacy of God, the election of God, the predestination of God, the effectual calling of God, who are the loved of God, the Son of God's incarnation and salvation, the resurrection of Christ, and so forth. Then I have another booklet called The Humiliation and the Exaltation of Christ. It's from the Lord's Supper unto when He leaves His disciples and goes back home to heaven. And the events that took place after, starting with the Lord's Supper, and after that, His crucifixion, His resurrection from the dead, and all the things that took place. We would be happy. I want to send these booklets to you. All you have to do is just write me and request that you want the booklets, and just tell me the number you want, and I'll send them to you. Before we get into our message tonight, we want to say we appreciate all of you who have let us know that you watch this telecast, that you enjoy it, and that you are interested in the things that you hear on this telecast. And we would love to hear from you. Before we get into the message, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Most sovereign God, our Father in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thy darling Son and our beloved Savior, we give thee thanks for this opportunity to preach the gospel tonight, to declare unto thy people thy great salvation. Open their minds to believe and comfort those that already believe in sovereign grace. Father in heaven, we'll give thee all the praise, honor, and glory for everything that thou hast done and art doing in our life, and the glory for thy gospel. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I begin this evening in the book of Titus, chapter 3, beginning with verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. As the Apostle Paul wrote to Titus, the preacher, this young preacher of the gospel, he describes the condition of God's people before that the love of God comes in their hearts before the Holy Spirit inscribes his love in their hearts and saves them by his grace. He says we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. That's what we were before that we were born of God's Spirit, or before that we were quickened by the Spirit or given spiritual life. We were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. We did not have love for God's people. We did not have love for God until the love of God came in our hearts. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. The Apostle Paul lays it out very explicitly, distinctly, and clearly, that before that the love of God reached us, and before that the kindness of God appeared in our lives, and the Spirit of God worked his grace within us, and give us spiritual life, and a hunger and a thirst for God, and to know God, we were away from God, we were hateful, we were hating one another, we were living in pleasures and lust of our old human nature. It sort of corresponds with what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in chapter 2, and beginning with verse 1, when Paul said, "And you hath he quickened," that is God, "and you hath God quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all also had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Now Paul wrote to these saints of God at Ephesus and said that before that God quickened you or give you spiritual or eternal life, he said you walked according to the course of this world. And the reason that you walked according to the course of this world, you were dead in trespasses and in sin. He didn't say that you had a little spark of life. He said you were dead. Not only were you separated from God, you were incapable of coming to God in that condition that you were in by nature. That is, you were alienated from God. All of us were in sin. But God took the initiative, he sought us out, and he saved us by his grace. It was by the kindness and love of God our Savior that he appeared unto us. God came to us before that we could come to him. God, in his Spirit, by his Spirit, that still small voice spoke to our hearts and changed us. And that change brings about a righteousness in our very being. He implanted his righteousness within us. And he gave us spiritual life, whereby that we thirst and we hunger for God. And we begin to cry out unto God for mercy. He says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. So there is no work of righteousness that we do in order to obtain this love and this grace and this favor of God. As I spoke to you last Sunday night, on this telecast about the doctrine of unconditional and eternal election. God, before the world began, loved his people. And God loved his people so much that he covenanted with his Son and gave his people to Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. And he chose his people in Christ before the world began. And he loved his people so much that he desired to have his people in heaven with him after that this world is over. Yes, the Apostle Paul taught this very clearly in the Scriptures. It's all through the Scriptures, but he taught it very clearly to the church at Ephesus concerning the plan or the design of salvation, that we were chosen in Christ by God the Father, that we were predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. We were predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. God adopted out of the human family his people. He adopted those that he loved, and he took them as his very own. He adopted us into his family. And therefore, if he adopted us, and the Bible says that he predestinated us unto the adoption of children, then there had to be a choice of those whom he adopted. And whom he adopted into his family, he purposed to save them out of their wretched, sinful condition. And God did that through Jesus Christ. Legally, Christ redeemed us from sin. We were saved from our sin upon the cross. And then his Spirit applies Christ's salvation to our hearts here in our lives, somewhere in our lives, sometime in our lives, according to the predetermined counsel of Almighty God. Everyone is saved by grace according to the purpose of God. The Apostle Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. He says, "Who hath saved us?" Talking about God. God saved us and called us. You see, God saved us through Jesus Christ, his darling Son, our beloved Redeemer, upon the cross, and by his resurrection, of course, from the dead. That was positive proof that the sins of his people were removed forever, and that they were expiated upon the cross by his shed blood. Every one of his people were washed in his blood, and he arose from the dead to victory and to triumph. And then he went back to glory, and he appears in the presence of God for us. Who hath saved us and called us? This salvation is applied to our souls. This salvation is freely given to us of God. And our hearts are changed. Our spirits are raised out of death to spiritual life. Who hath saved us and called us? Not according to our works. This is not according to any work you did. Not any work you will do. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. When was this grace given us? In Christ Jesus before the world began. That's when this grace was given us in Christ Jesus in covenant. We weren't actually with Christ before the world began, but God loved his people, and grace was given us in Christ before the world began. It's like opening a savings account for your little children. You put in there what you want them to have. You open it in their name, but you are doing the saving for them. You're putting all the money in the saving account, and then you're going to give it to them sometime in their life. Well, God treasured up grace in Christ Jesus before the world began. In Christ, who is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus Christ was made manifest, and he appeared in this world to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And by his one offering that he made upon the cross, he put away sin by his offering unto God for all that he represented, all of his people. They were saved. They were redeemed. He redeemed us upon the cross. It was made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. He abolished death in his death upon the cross, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The gospel brings to light. It is the report of this wonderful doctrine of this salvation of Jesus Christ. God wants you to know, child of God, that he loved you before the foundation of the world, and that he predestinated you to be conformed to the image of his Son, predestinated you to your inheritance, as the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in chapter 1, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God wants you to know. He wants you to believe, child of God, in this wonderful gospel, that you were loved so much that Jesus took your place upon the cross, and he removed your debt of sin by his payment for it. He was the payment for your debt. And the Holy Spirit gave you spiritual life. Now, you may not remember when that time was. I don't know. And I can't remember when God quickened my heart, but I became conscious of it. And the effect of that work, I became conscious of it. I began to feel my sins upon me. And if you feel yourself to be a sinner, and you have a thirst for God, God has given you spiritual life. He's changed your life. He's changed your heart. You have eternal and spiritual life. And the gospel reveals all of this mystery to you. Now, you should believe the true report of the gospel. There have been people that I've talked to say, "Now, preacher, I just do not believe in the teaching of the doctrine of election or predestination. I don't believe that God would choose some and pass others by." Well, whether you believe it or not, it's true. It's not going to change God. But if you are a child of God, you should believe it. But if you don't believe it, it's not going to change you. It's not going to erase the truth. If you're a child of God, you're a child of God because you were chosen unto salvation. And God applied this salvation to your soul. If you're a child of God, you're going to live with God in heaven, and nothing is going to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This didn't come to you by your works, not according to our works. And Paul wrote Titus, and he says, not by works of righteousness. You might have been taught that you are a child of God because you accepted, or you came to an altar, or you believed. No, my friends, you're a child of God. And you've been saved by his grace because he purposed to do that in your life. Not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy he saved us. It wasn't because that you one night went to an altar. If you went to an altar and you really from your heart felt to be a sinner, it was because that God had already arrested your heart and you already had feelings for God. And you already had a heart that was tender, or you wouldn't have a desire to call upon the Lord. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's not according to what you've done. Not according to our works of righteousness, not according to your repentance, not according to your confession, not according to your water baptism, because all of that are works of righteousness. Your confession is a confession of righteousness. Not by water baptism, that is a work of righteousness. If it is true baptism, not all baptism is baptism. But if you believe that it's by your works of righteousness and because I was baptized, that's why that I'm going to heaven. No, it's not by works of righteousness, because baptism, the child of God who is baptized, it is a work of righteousness. John says, and we know that he is righteous, and ye know that whosoever doeth righteousness is born of God. So the reason that people doeth righteousness is because they are born of God. Righteousness is the effect of the new birth, or being born of God, or the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Do you hope in God? Well, if you hope in God, it's based upon the foundation that Jesus Christ has redeemed you and washed you with the washing of regeneration by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Being justified by his grace. You have been justified by his grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Rome in chapter 5. And he says, but after that God's love came in your life, after God's love came in your life, you were brought to that wonderful blessing of understanding that Jesus Christ loved you and gave himself for you. In the 5th chapter of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul wrote to the saints of God at Rome, the beloved of God in Rome, and the called to be saints. And he says unto them, he said that when you were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And he says, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood. That's justification by blood or grace. Now, we believe in justification by faith, but that comes through the child of God believing the finished work of Christ and believing that the righteousness of Christ is sufficient to cover all your sins. Your faith is not what's going to take you to heaven. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. But your faith in the blood and the work of Jesus Christ is going to bring you a peace within your soul, child of God. Because you couldn't have faith if you were not born of God's Spirit. You see, a lot of people have the cart before the horse. They say you got to have faith, and that anybody can have faith, and that's where you get eternal life, is by your faith in Jesus Christ. No, you already have the grace of God in your heart before that you can believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. He says here, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. When did God promise eternal life? Well, in Titus chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, it says here, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect. Here we have God's elect again. Can't get away from it in the Word of God. And the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. In hope of eternal life. Does that mean that if you're a child of God now, that you don't have eternal life within your soul? No. It means that you're in hope of eternal life. You're expecting. Are you have an anticipation of the fullness of that life with God in heaven, We're not in heaven yet, but we're destined to heaven. We're predestinated to our inheritance that God has reserved for us in heaven. The Apostle Peter wrote about that in the first epistle and chapter 1. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Now, the Apostle Peter is writing to the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And he is informing them that Jesus Christ has shed his blood, and therefore they had embraced the wonderful gospel, which brought the peace and the joy in their life, to understand that Jesus Christ has put away my sins. Not only has he put away my sins, but he has reserved heaven for me. Not only has he reserved heaven for you, and that's your inheritance, but he keeps you by his power through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He keeps you by his mighty power. You are predestinated to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, and that cannot be disrupted. It cannot be thwarted by man. It cannot be overthrown. It cannot be destroyed, because God is the one that predestinated you to be conformed, or to inhabit your inheritance, and to be like Christ, to live in heaven with God unto the adoption of children. The doctrine of predestination is a wonderful teaching. It's a wonderful doctrine. It's not a doctrine that keeps people out of heaven. It's the only thing that's going to take you to glory, to be conformed to the image of Christ. You know, a lot of people have the idea, some people anyway, have the idea that everything is predestinated, and everything that man does, he couldn't help it, had to do it. No, that's not the doctrine of predestination. What man does upon this earth. No, my friend, everywhere you find the doctrine of predestination, it's always talking about people being destined to glory, or to be conformed to the image of Christ, or to their inheritance, or to the adoption of children. God did not predestinate men to do what they do in our acts here in this world. There's a scripture found in Jeremiah 32, verses 34 and 35. And he says, "But they set their abomination in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the sons of Hinnom, to cause their sons and daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not." This is something that men did that God did not command. And if people say, well, everything's predestinated, God didn't command this, that's for sure, so he didn't predestinate it. "Neither came it into my mind that they should caused this abomination and caused Judah to sin." This didn't come into the mind of God. Didn't mean he didn't know about it. He didn't see it. And he didn't, in his omniscience, didn't already know that they were going to do it. But he didn't cause them to do it. No, it was not. It was not predestinated, because it did not come into his mind. His predestination was in his mind from eternity, for his people to be brought unto him and enjoy his presence for eternity, forever and ever. May the Lord bless you with this message, is my prayer, until we bring another message next week at this same time.